Thank you. Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin, as it is written. None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of ashes is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their path are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law said, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped. And the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. We're blessed by reading God's word, and that blessed shall even be greater to us as we live it out. This morning, amen, we are on the, if you have the sheep with all the four beliefs on, we're on their fifth. We're on the fifth one. It's really talking about on that fifth one, what we call biblical anthropology, or man. It's a kind of a study of man from a biblical perspective. I want to entitle this sermon, The Night Before Christmas. Amen. The Night Before Christmas. Because it ain't in fact. You gotta understand that Christmas means Christ celebration. Now we really do that on the 25th of this month, but Christ will be celebrated, amen, all year long. And what really calls this one to celebrate Christ is when you come to know Christ. So when I talk about the night before Christmas, I'm talking about that period. When we are lost in darkness before we come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. And so think about it like that. That before you come to know Him, when you're in that period where sin is in control of your life, in that period of darkness before you come to know Christ, that's what I'm kind of looking at upon this morning. I want you to look at with me. While we look at what the Bible says about man, or about human beings, about us, about mankind. There are some, especially if you study the behavioral sciences, that say that man, some of those psychologists and philosophers of old, say that man is basically good. But we're going to see what the scripture says about man. And so follow us. Number one, look at Roman number one, and this is we're in our series digging. We're trying to dig a little deeper. And this morning we want to dig a little deeper what the scripture says about man. All right, number one, it says in you look at our first scripture. God said, oh, let's look at verse 27, man. So God created man in his own image. And that's where I want to start at. We are created in the image of God. That is it. The imago Dei, the image of God. What do we mean by image of God? By image of God, we mean that man That's why we everything else before you said it's good, good, it's good, it's good, it's good. But when he got the man and he created man, he said it's very good. Because man was the thing that was closer to God. And also, he is so close, he's closest to God, that's a different, but he's also so close that he represents God in having dominion. God gave him dominion.
Yeah.
Because God has dominion. Amen. So he can dominate, rule. We, mankind, is under God in the rulership of the planet. Amen. We that's why we're able to come up with different inventions and we're kind of managing the whole planet. And everything else on the planet, God made us managers because he is the ultimate one in control. So we have dominion under him. And when you look at us, you ought to see how God manages man. The key to that, we are made in his likeness. The point is, when you see us, when you see mankind, when you see human beings, male and female, they should reflect the glory of God. You shouldn't be able to look at us and not see how great our God is. The reason he created us was that you would be able to look at us and see how great he is. Hold it. Hold on to that thought in your mind as we go deeper into this. I want to say, we're created in God's image. So, the first thing I want to say about that gives us limitation. We're created to be like him. So that gives us a limitation even in saying that. The fact that we are to be like him says we are not him. Because the fact that you want to be like something or like someone says that you are not being. I want you to know sometimes I think we, the way we think about some areas of theology and biblical understanding, we think we are. God, you know, spoke the whole world into creation. It was nothing. I always say he stepped out on nothing because he didn't have nothing to step out on. Amen. And spoke to nothing because he didn't have nothing to speak to. And created something. That's what he did. Now, this may be a controversial, but I'm just going to share my opinion on how I see Scripture. Sometimes we say that we all speak to things as if they are before we see them. The Scripture that speaks things that are not as they are. The Scripture that says that, and I think that most people come up to that understanding, is a Scripture that's really talking about God. God is the only one that can create by his speaking. We can create by our speaking. The only way we can create by our speaking or speak something that's not to be there is if we're speaking after God. When God told children of Israel to go to Israel, to go into the promised land, you can't speak, okay, the promised land is ours because God had already said it's there before they're conquered. But if we say something that we haven't heard from God, that God hadn't promised us, that God hadn't given us, and we say it's ours, then that's a different thing. You're kind of trying to take God in that particular idea, in aspect, in my interpretation of Scripture. So I just want to get that out of there. Sometimes I think that's how people try to play God. Like I said, God has promised you something. If it's in God's word, God has said, yeah, you can believe it before you see it. But don't affect it because you want it. God won't give it to you. Because God is God and we're not. We're not. We have to. He only will give us those things that in his will. He knows what's best for us. And that's what it is about trusting him. When you're trusting him, you say, God, now I'll pray to you. I'll pray for this thing. In my eyes, I believe I need this thing. I think it's the thing that you want me to have. But I'm trusting you. And if it don't come about, I'll know because you thought it wasn't best for me. So always approach that. We realize we are not God. We can't control anything. When we leave home, we can't control when we get back home. We have no power. We have no power. God has all power. So we submit everything to him. We pray in his name. Praying in his name and say, hey, I believe the thing I'm praying for in this moment is what God would have me to do. Or I believe what I'm praying for that is something that's scripture, something that God has already declared. And I'm trusting in him to do it because it's already been promised. So let's dive in. We are to be like God, but we are not God. We are man. I always keep that differential in your mind. Secondly, the limitation, but there's also amplification. Y'all know what amplifier is, right? When you speak something, you can speak, you know, like I got on there, amplifying. I'm not really speaking as loud as y'all are hearing. If I had to speak as loud as y'all are hearing, my voice would run out pretty quick. But it amplifies my voice. It makes it stronger. It makes it go further. Amen. It makes an offer be heard a little bit further. Now, in that scripture that I got down, that's the scripture that said, when God told Adam to multiply. To multiply and fill and fill the earth. Because when he created us in his image, he wanted his image to be all the planet. So his glory will be amplified throughout the universe. That's why man was created. God didn't have to have it. God wasn't alone. I told y'all that before. God had everything he needed. He just, in his sovereignty, decided one day that I'm going to amplify my glory throughout the universe by the created man in my image and after my life. So everywhere, his plan was that everywhere you look, you see him. Human beings, all the earth, reflecting his glory. You could go nowhere without seeing somebody that reminded you how good God was. Amen. You go in it. You want to go to any city, any state, any country, anywhere on the planet and see a person, and that person who was created in the image of God will remind you of how good God is. Y'all could, in each person as y'all interacting, see how glorious and how wonderful and how good God is. So, when we say we're created in God, that gives us some limitation, but that also gives an amplification and we spread out and go all the way. But that was God's plan. One day his plan will come true. Third part of this. There's an implication. The limitations and the amplification, but there's also some implication. If we're created by God, number one, human life is to be valued. If the reason why human life is valued because it's in the image of God. Our lives is the closest thing to God on earth, and that's what gives us value. God, we bear the image of God. That's why it says in Genesis 9:6, I think it is. Genesis 9:6 says, that's why if you take the life of a human being, you have to pay with your own life. Because that's how valuable our life was. God said, if you take a human being's life, then capital punishment, because that's how valuable human lives are to be loved. Love neighbor. Love God all your heart. All your strength, all your mind, everything, love God. But then love your neighbor as yourself. Because your neighbor, how are you going to say you love God? And your neighbor got an image. You love somebody, your neighbor has this image. And I'm going to say a little bit about the image in a little bit. You say, my neighbor ain't nothing like that. And your neighbor got his image, and you can't love your neighbor. Love God with everything, and then love your neighbor as yourself. That's what the scripture said. Love your neighbor as yourself. Alright. Now this is where Mark 12:30-31. Let me read that right quick. Because I want to compare that to something. Mark 12. I want to go to as many as I went to a couple weeks ago, but I do want to go to this one. Mark 12:30-31. When I'm sort of 30, and you shall, what's that difference? And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. That's the first great commandment. And the second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. I think we got a hold on that. But let's see how much of a hold we got on that. Go to James 3. James 3. Because this is that's easy. Now we can make it more practical. James brings things down to earth. James chapter 3. Verse 8-10. You can see about the love your neighbor as yourself. Everybody there? Close? Okay. Damn, kind of the back. You're not even looking at me. I'm going to go ahead and read it. I won't take too much time. Because you got this thing. You can read it when you get home. Check it out. It says in verse 8, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a wretched evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the image or in the likeness of God. If you love God, the same way you bless and talk to God, you should talk to those that are made in his image. Something dangerous. You don't know the difference between gossip and, let's see how I want to put it, flattery. Gossip and flattery. When you gossip, you tell somebody in public or somebody that's not, you know, between us, you tell somebody else about a person, something you would never tell that person. Mm-hmm. That's what gossip is. You say something about that person that you would never tell that person. Mm-hmm. Now, flattery is honest. Because you tell that person something you would never say to anybody else. Both of those things are not right. When we use the tongue properly, you should be able to tell both parties without offending anybody else. Cursing, and I'm cursing, I don't mean bad words, you know, bad words. Boy, you can curse people without using bad words.
It's true.
Unless you're hoping something bad comes in your life. Hope you'll never be nothing. You that sometimes we'll just tell. Especially, this is especially bad for young people who are in a formative stage when you say, hey, just like your dad. Your dad broke down your ankle, they'll never be
known. Wow.
Y'all see what I'm saying? Because that person, that name ain't going to get out of the child's mind.
That's right.
And some adults do the same thing. Sometimes abusive relationships that happen. saying, what I'm trying to say, a lot of times we have no respect for the image of God that's in others.
Amen.
Because if you respected them the way we should respect one another, certain things will come out of our mouth. But it's kind of hard. So that's one thing. We love, I said we love, and we value, and the last one, human life belongs to God, the Creator. And you see that like in Mark chapter 12. Let me, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to look it up. In Mark chapter 12, I want to take the last verse, just a verse on that too. In Mark chapter 12, what happens is, they're trying to trap you because they always did with this season. And they say, should we pay taxes to Caesar? Should we pay taxes to Caesar? And he said, okay, y'all trying to tell me. Y'all don't know me, right? Y'all, I never get any trouble. We can play this game. They said, whose inch is on the coin? You know, because it's in our season on something. We say, give Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give God what belongs to God. Now see the connection here. Caesar's image was on the coin. That means it belongs to Caesar. God's image is on us, so we belong to who? So he said, give Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But hey, you need to give yourself to God. Give God what belongs to God. You were created by God, but you are also, amen, owned by the Creator that created you.
Yeah.
You don't, your life is not your own. You say amen. Sound pretty, but your life is not your own. Your life belongs to God. He created you. And your image, or his image is on you. So those are some limitations. Of being created in the image of God. Number one, hey, your life is valuable. Every human life is valuable. Whether they're living in a mansion in the richest neighborhood or whether they're down and out and living on the streets, those lives are equally valuable. You don't treat anybody bad. You try to help everybody that needs help. Don't ever say, because of where you live, or your skin color, or your any part of your life, your bank account, your education. Don't ever try to make yourself better than another human being. That's made in the image of God. But we're all in the image. So if anybody ever try to look down on you, you got to know who you are. I'm made in his image. I'm made to reflect his glory. I'm made so people will look at my life. They can learn and know and see something great about God through my life. That's why I'm here. Because I've seen some of the most godly people are people that are down and out. Sometimes we feed the homeless or the needy people. And they say, let me sing. They get something saying about God. And they sing so great. It just moves you. You see some of the greatest kindness, love these people. They just have a hard time going through the struggle. But I've seen some other people who live in a nice house, in a nice neighborhood. They got everything. But they treat people like dirt. We're all made in his image. So we're all that. There's no big eyes with you.
Right.
We're all made in his image. Some may have developmental issues. Some may not be physically, they have physical disabilities, but yet they're just as love, their life worthy of just as us here. That's it. I'm just so glad that I made it in there. Amen. But I'm trying. My hope is that every day I can live kind of life where come somebody and seek him and how great he is by the way I live my life. Because that's what he put me here for. That's what I'm created for. That's what you was created for. That's what every human being was created for. Okay, so that's what we're created for. But something happened. Something happened in the garden. We all have heard over and over again. One day, the serpent was having a little talk with Eve. Amen. Now, the strange thing about that, when the serpent was having a little talk with Eve, seems like when you look at that scripture closely, Adam may have been right by her. Because you see him coming in, it seems like he's with her. And I'm wondering, if he's with her, why isn't he a covering for her?
Amen.
Why isn't he protecting her? Why is he allowing the servant to continue to talk to her? Amen. Without getting in between. Wait a minute. You need to talk to me because I'm the covering then. If it's something worthwhile, I can tell you to her. I didn't lie to the first, but he stood there. So both are to blame. Both are to blame.
Okay.
If we're going to share blame. But you know what happened. Eve made, the serpent suggested that maybe God is not what you think he is.
Yeah.
He tried to impeach the character of God. Say, you know, God isn't really holding out on you.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. You got a God for the tree. In one tree, he said, don't eat of. And he said, God's holding out. God's holding out. God ain't, you know, he said, because he knows the day you eat, you're going to be like him. He's trying to hold you back.
Yeah.
And you know the story. He disobeyed most God's word, not to eat of that tree, the knowledge of good and evil, and sin in it. You know what sin really is? Sin is rebellion against God. It's holding our fist up to God. God. I want things my own way. Leave me alone. You are not the boss of me. Because when you don't, the fact when you don't obey all, that means you don't believe in the person that gives you all. You don't, that when you don't obey an order, it's something that you're doing that's insulting the character of the person that gave you order. God, you're not that good. You're not all and in all that people think you are. Because if we knew and believed that he's really the all and in all that he is, we'll obey him. Thank you, we've seen. We said, God, you're in all that. I want to live like my own way. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it, if I want to do it, or if I don't want to do it. I want to be God. I just told you I want God. I want to be God of my own life. I want to be CEO of my own life. I want to be president of my own life. We rebel against God. What sin is. What happened? Adam was a federal representative. I'll get a little bit more technical. Adam was a federal representative of all mankind. It was like when you remember the story, if you remember all the details, when David and Goliath fought, rather than all the army, you know, when, rather than all the army fighting, David said, I'm gonna represent Israel. Goliath represented Philistine. He said, whichever one of these federal heads win, then the consequences will go to the whole group. If David wins, all the Philistines will receive the consequences. If Goliath wins, all of Israel will receive the consequences. So, when Adam, as our federal head, was up against the enemy, and the enemy was able tell you when the light is next for. But well, Pastor, we ain't like this sermon so for yet. You're working on it. Impunity from 5 to 12. And that basically is, I'm going to break it down for you. That basically is, when you read it, by one man's disobedience, all became sinners. Because he was representing us. So when Adam sinned, everybody in him, every human being, became sinner. Because he represented us. He represented us, so we have to deal with the consequences. That's what we call imputed sin. In other words, sin. He's sin. Yeah, he's sin here. Sin. When Adam sinned, in every human being account, he put sin in every human being account. So we all became sinners. But he put it in our account. But that's not it. That's imputed sin. Now somebody goes, I don't know about that. That ain't fair. Because Adam said, I have to pay for it. I think you should have to pay for your own sin. Well, even if that was true. Even if that was true. When Adam sinned, the sin nature was passed down to all of Adam's offspring. Which means the whole human race. So we are sinners by him representing us, but we're all sinners because there's not only imputed sin and he put sin in our account, but we're sinners because there was imparted sin. It was passed down to all of his offspring. David said, when I was born, when I was a little cute baby, I was born in sin and shaken in iniquity. I was born because what Adam did was passed on in the bloodstream. So we're sinning by the two reasons. We're sinning because of what Adam did, and we're sinning because of what we need. But I'm going to show you why I'm going to leave you there in just a few minutes. Why I'm glad I'm sinning because of what Adam did. I'm glad that my representative sinned and that sin was on me. I'm going to show you a second. Now, so you got that? So we're sinners. That's what's called imputed sin. Imputed is put in there. And when I say put in, it's put in our account, in human account. Imparted, hey, sin becomes part of it. It's passed down from generation to generation. So regardless of how much you think about your offspring, they're sinners.
Amen.
That's why they have those terrible twos. Amen. That's why they want their way. Amen. See, because they don't know how to hide it yet.
Right.
We want our way, too. We do. The same thing the little baby, the little kid do to us, the same thing we do to God. But to the little baby, amen, they don't know how to hide. We do our little sneaky way. We may not hold our fingers up or fight back or whatever like a little baby, but we do the same thing to God. Because sin has been passed down. Don't like authority. Hold on. I'm trying to get to a good point sooner or later. Ain't got too much money to go. Oh, we get to it soon. All right. So we get imputed sin and imparted sin. Now, because of imparted sin, let's go to our main verdict. This is what imparted sin had done to us. Now, remember, these verses I'm going to read, 9, I'm going to read 9 through maybe 23 again. This is not just pagan people. This is the religious folk. This is the Jews who had God's word, were the first one to have God's word. This is them that Paul born again, you can't even see God. You can't understand God. And you can't be part of the kingdom. No one seeks after God. Wait a minute, Pastor. I sought after God. I realized. No. If you sought after God, it's because you had Him. You didn't go after Him on your own. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
You sought after God because the Holy Spirit, I told you, convicts of sin when we talk about that. You didn't see God on your own. The Holy Spirit even had to help you to even see God. Because on your own, you say, God, I'm not telling you. All have turned aside together. They have become worthless. Why come we're worthless? Why are we worthless? Because it's like a lawnmower that can't cut grass. It's created to cut grass. If it can't cut grass, it's worthless. We said, well, Pastor, you know, I'm going to put the kids on and push the kids around. But it's worthless because of what it was created for. When we are lost in sin, we are worthless because we were created for God's glory in His image, that we can amplify the image of God throughout the planet and through the universe. We can't do that when the living, contrary to God's own man and His character. Sin is not just something you do, it's a whole character. It's not always that. You can sin and not do anything. Or in action. Because your heart is in the wrong place. Pharisee, talking to Pharisee, Jesus, in some of the mountain. Pharisee said, oh no, we keep sin, man, we don't commit adultery. And Jesus says, if you lust in your heart, you already committed. So sometimes it's not an action. Right. You ain't never with everyone, you ain't never with no word, but in your heart, you've already committed it. Now I think when we when we actually live it out. When we actually live it out, not in our heart, we live it out or express it. When we actually express what's in our heart, I think that's because sin is a degree thing. I think God even hell is punishment for degrees. So I think that's a greater sin. Let me say that. They both are sin, but I think that's a greater sin when it's expressed. He talks about talking. Hey, I won't worry my brother, but he said you say the wrong thing. The heart is you've already murdered him. Now, that's a heart issue, that's a sin. But I think actually a greater degree of sin is you actually murder the person. Y'all kind of get what I'm coming from. So that's what I'm saying. And God, but both are sins. Both the sin. What's it called? Things. Done in sin. So sin is not only what you do, sometimes what's in your heart. It's a seed. But the seed, when the seed becomes a weed, it impacts me. It does more damage than destruction. That's why we might decree. In the Old Testament, if you read Leviticus, now you see all the sin, but certain sins had more punishment than others because there's always a group involved. So sometimes it's not just what you do, but it's because God's character, God has a character, and His commands to us come from His character. If He's holy, you be holy. If He's pure, you be pure. If He doesn't lie, yes, it comes. So, sin is anything that does not come into conformity to the character of God. That's why I said, for all have sinned and is this, to show us, come short of the glory of God. Because the glory of God is his character on display. So sin is your hate. If you ain't doing it like God's doing it, it's sin. That way ain't nobody left out. And yes, I'm going to say that. You may be honest. And I hope everybody be honest. But if you ain't honest to the degree that God is honest, you'll come short. And if we've all been getting that, if you think you escaped all that, I don't know. I don't know. You may need to look at the scripture again. I don't think the Holy Spirit is come pick you like this shit. Because nobody from the pews or the pulpit has escaped. We all have sinned and come short. There is none good. No, not one. So if you were saying that you could, and the Bible says, which is, you know, because when the Bible speaks, God speaks. So you are saying, if you are saying that you are the one that ain't got nothing on you, then you're going to be God. And the Bible says itself, let God be true, and every man a lie. I'm trying to put us all in the same boat.
Yes, sir.
We all are living in the night before Christmas. Because in the night, you can't see truth. Before you came to Christ, you can't see what's true. You can't see how wrong you are. You can't see how wretched you are. You can't see how messed up you are. We don't even have the power to get back. On our own. So sometimes people come to me and they'll share something about another person having a problem with it. So why come to this person? I can't get this person to do my. And I'm like, okay, this person's saying. Now they can say, well, if people not saying, you act like you're not saying. When you're not saved, you won't act like you're not saved. Y'all got it? And sometimes, and the point is, well, we all sin. Do I have anybody in the room that had sin ever? Or sometimes when I'm bringing people to it, I'm expanding the plan of salvation. I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. I say, I know you ain't sinned very much, but can you remember? Try to think as hard as you can. Have you sinned once? Hey, you know what that room has? We don't think that hard. We don't think that hard. Hey, if you asked me when I left church today, from the time you came in the door to the time you left, you see, I'm not thinking about it. Knowing me, yeah, I'm not going to think about it. But yeah, I don't think I can live 2 or 3 hours with you without doing anything wrong, anything that's out of the character of God, all these shows. Even in church.
Yeah.
All right. That's how messed up I'm so. And that's us as believers. Believers who are mature and spiritual, that's all we still have struggles.
Yes,
it's just like the unbeliever needs the Holy Spirit praying, we need the Holy Spirit. But we got to realize, unless I got the Spirit, I'll always be on God. Because you don't realize how much you need God, you'll try to live life on your own, and you'll surely fall. I got to realize, hey, I'm rich. I'm saved, but I still got some wretchedness. I still got some wretchedness. And if I'm not depending on God, if I'm not dealing with the Spirit, it's easy for that wretchedness to rise. Want the wretchedness to rise up? Yeah, I'm crucified, but if I'm not careful, if I'm not in the Word of God, if I'm not praying up, if I'm not standing in fellowship with the right kind of people, and have the right. fools.
They got work with our riches. Well, they really kind of quiet.
All right, so now let me keep reading. Put these on. I'm going to close this thing out real quick. Let me go 13. Their foot is an open grave. You can talk to the sea. Then we'll ask them to lift their mouth is full of curses. And bitterness. Feet are swift to shed blood. You see that all around. We see vows on every. You didn't let me use a little while. She vows. Somebody kills an innocent person for nothing. It's nonsense. In the way of peace they have not known, there is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't care what God's going to do. They think they're going to go to hell, and hell won't be a part. Something they enjoy.
Oh, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
That's why you got to pray for them. Because the only thing going to save them is God's Spirit convicting them of their sin. You share with them what you can about, you know, worry about being saved. But really, where power is going to come from is in behind closed doors. Because a lot of times, your conversation with them is good. We should do that. What we're about to tell them to do. But the real changer is not your conversation with the person, but your conversation with God about the person.
That's true. That's true.
Oh, that's what power comes in. You may be talking about it. Sit and talk. You say the same thing over and over and over again. That's okay. You probably didn't need to hear. If you say it over again, they're not listening on it. It might be spiritual every time, but they're not really listening to you anymore. So now you got to go talk to God about the person. And let God have it. Put them in God's hand. He can do more with them than you can. May take a little time. And it may not be because God gave man a free will. May not happen. But you did your part. You love them enough to put them in God's hand. You love them enough to tend to God. Always tend. Be loving enough, even when you have a problem with someone, co-worker, well, be loving enough to take them to God. God is a great God. All right. So y'all see tonight, I'm trying to show you that nightness that we are part of before you come to Christ. That nightness that we are part of until God gets it. Now, let me finish it off. No. Oh, this was going to take me this long. Okay, now, lastly, the Christmas is a promise of restoration. That's in salvation. Matthew 1:21 talks about Jesus being born, and it says he's going to save us from our sin. I don't know about you, but I need a savior. I need somebody that's going to save me. I need a hero that's going to save me. And it said Jesus was born to save us from our sin. Ooh, that's the kind of God I need. I need somebody. Because I need to be saved from my sin. So, Jesus comes. And in Romans 3:21, turn over there. That's the one I want. If you got a Bible, turn over there. Because that is a key one. Romans 3, that's one that I do. I want to kind of say the most important because I don't want y'all turning on today. But Romans 3:21. Well, it's on your page. You're not turning on your page. Romans 3. Down there was it, righteousness of God through faith. But now, we've been talking about this night, how wretched it was, how simple we was, how simple every human being is.
Yeah.
Without God. But I'm glad. When you read about it, sometimes the things you're going through as bad as stuff you be reading about the Bible, but all of a sudden the butter come up. Woo! I just thank God when the butter, they conjunction come up, wait a minute. There's some hope. See, like every time there's a book, here comes some hope. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. What? The righteousness do. The righteousness of God comes, it is 22, y'all. The righteousness of God comes through faith in what? All who believe. I got this thing. I don't care how many laws I try to keep. Because remember, I got this gospel last week. Right. So I don't care how many laws I try to keep. And I can you keep them all in, but you won't mess up. Okay, how many I try to keep, that's going to always be there. I can't get rid of it. But what happened was, when I put my faith in Jesus, it said, I got some righteousness. Right. Now look at that verse close. Did it say my righteousness? Man, y'all looking at that? Did it say my righteousness? Whose righteousness is this? The righteousness of God. In other words, the righteousness I got that saved me is not my righteousness. But it's God's righteousness. It's the righteousness that Christ gave. Christ gave me his righteousness. Because he's my representative now. He's, hey, I'm going to die. I'm going to take your sin. I'm going to die because I'm going to get rid of your sin. Okay. And when you put faith in me, I'm going to give you my righteousness.
Amen. All
right. So the reason why I go to hell, because when they see you, we were God, you see, but you just is automatically happen. When God looks at my life, he doesn't see what Adam did. He doesn't see what I did. He sees the life that Jesus lived and Jesus righteous. He said, oh, yeah, you fit for heaven. Because in heaven, you can't have no sin. In heaven, you have to be perfect and righteous. And Jesus had no sin, and you got his righteousness. So that's why we go to heaven. Y'all see that switch?
Yeah.
He took our sin. Because we got a new representative now. See, if God, see, that's why God allows, I'm going to let y'all represent. I ain't going to I'm going to give you representatives. And depending on what your representative do, then you get blessed like that. So now, our curse. Now, since your first representative messed up, so you got sin. Now, your second representative, the second Adam, Jesus, he was totally righteous. So now you get the benefit because he represents you.
Yes,
all you have to do is put your faith in him and trust in him and not what you do, and you get his rights. So I go to heaven now, not because I have my own righteousness, but because I have a righteousness that didn't come from what I do, but a righteousness that came from what he did. Now that's imputed righteousness. But remember, when Adam messed up, no, he had imputed what he put in. So we got to put in for it. But now, I need to, in this life, I want to become a better person so I can reflect God. So not only do we get the imputed righteousness, but we get imparted righteousness. And that's what those last verses are talking about. He said, if any man be in Christ,
yes, sir.
If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things have become new. Romans 8:29 talks about him trying to make us like his son.
Yeah.
He worked everything together for good. That's the verse we like. But the next verse says the reason why he works everything together good, because he uses all this stuff to make us like his son. Imparted.
Sure.
Imparted righteousness. And then 1 John 3:2. Somebody get that for me right quick. Pastor, you got time to turn. You got to turn it out. All right, y'all be there. Let's get that one more. I'm going to close this thing out. I should be all giving benediction now. Somebody read when you get
it. 1 John 3, 2.
1 John chapter 3 and verse 2.
Okay, mine says, beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we now know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Mm-hmm.
All right. So when he comes back, when he comes, remember, we were in his image to be like him. When he comes back and we see him as he is, that's what he said, we shall be like him. The restoration of the image of God. And then when we come to first, because that's what he wanted all the time. But he had to deal with sin. So when he comes back, every believer is going to be like him. And we'll be able, people will be able to look at us, we'll be able to look at each other in glory and see how great our God is. So when God has got there, that's what he always intended to be. All right, one more. We're going a little over time. Turn on the back of the notes. Rock of Ages. I don't know if y'all know. See, some of this, you know, I like some of these new songs. But you got to go way back to some good stuff. Listen. Rock. That's way, way back when Andy Gregg was singing this song. But it's way back when Andy Gregg was singing. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Y'all see that? Now this is a rock. This is figurative. It's quoted. And you are cleft. It's like you said, you're climbing a mountain, you're climbing rock. Then there's a place. Then if a storm comes, you can find a little spot that's big enough for your body. And you can squeeze in that little spot. And I will be protected from the storm. That's what the cliff did. Stay with me, stay with me. Rock of Ages, cliff with me. Let me hide myself. Indeed, let the water and the blood from the riverside which flow. Oh, be of sin the double cure. Y'all see that? Y'all see that, right? Double cure. Remember, we needed a double cure because we had imputed sin and imparted sin. So in order to be cured, we had to get imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness. You see that how they square with the scripture? See, a lot of us out there don't square, don't go that deep in the scripture. But, amen, we probably never heard of that particular thing. From the riverside flow, be of sin, the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt. Y'all see that? Guilt. We got guilt because of imputed sin. But we get power also. See? He takes from guilt when you take away Peter's sin. And then he imparts his power to us. So that's what we need. You need both cures. You need to get rid of your guilt. Jesus did that by giving you his righteousness, taking your sin. But now I need power to live it every day. So I can live away that not. That reflects God increasingly. I need power in it, so he gives us power for that. It's a complete salvation. It's a complete salvation. There's no excuse for us remaining the same we were. We won't be perfect, but you ought to be progressing strongly.
Yes, sir.
It ought to be a dynamic. Your life ought to be, as a believer, if you have a record, should be full of dynamic change. Not a little change, but dynamic change. They give God glory. They ought to be where they can look at what you were, the way you used to act, people that have been knowing you since you were young, and where you are now, and they see dynamic change. But now, if you can't do it, I like this name, it's my verse, next verse. You can't do it, y'all. Nothing in my hand, I bring. Send you to the cross. I claim. Nothing in my hand. He put emphasis on it. I bring. God, I'm good. God, I go to church. God, I try to keep you in. I try to do that. God, I'm generous. God, you ought to accept me because of what I got in my hand. I said, no. Nothing in my hand. They got it. I'm not good. No, not one. I'm just clinging to the cross. Taking what Jesus done.
expect to be down for the season. That's all I got. Was on my way. We're going to talk not that I am decreeing. I'm holding you on to what you've done on the ground.
Yes. Naked, come to thee with dress. I'm naked. I'm naked and I'm coming to you. I ain't trying to cover my own righteousness on. I need your righteousness to cover. But I'm just coming to you naked. I'm naked and messed up. Cover me with your righteousness. Helpless, look to thee with grace. Can't help myself. I'm just helpless. Can't get out of this situation, man. I'm a sinner and I can't get out. I need to save. Oh, look to thee for grace. Vow after the fountain of pride. Wash me, Savior. At least I die. That's why I want you to see those words. I want you to see how the songwriter expresses how much simple human beings need God. They need a Savior. And not try to do it on yourself, but be willing to accept Christ as your Savior. And when he done for you, that's why Christmas ought to make you. Christ ought to be celebrated. Because if one for Christ, we'll still be in that life.
Sure.
We'll still be there. But he talked to me. He brought us out of the darkness into the marvelous
light.
That's why we come here praying. Come on, sister. That's why we come here praying. Because we know the shame was in.
Yes.
That's why the gospel is good news.
Yes.
We tried to make it out of ourselves, we wouldn't have made it. But Jesus did. That's why it's such good news. Oh, my brothers and sisters. I'm glad that I came through the night before Christmas. But one day I found Christ and I accepted him and said, I put my faith in him. And every day I'm trying to depend on him to be the person that I need to be. I'm totally dependent on him. I'm totally open to him. He's everything. I know my own wretchedness, own issues, sin. They can creep up in your life. No matter who you are, if you're not careful, you gotta trust me. He did. He saved me from the penalty of sin by giving me his righteousness. But every day, he can save me from the power of sin. And I experience him living through me through his spirit and imparting to me his power to live a holy and a righteous life. I invite you to have the same experience. What a great God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Let us thank him and praise him for what he is.
You alone are worthy.
You you have to send it out. You're mighty God, you're awesome God, you're courageous. You must make us courageous. Because our faith and love in you. God, we pray a blessing upon all here in this beautiful seat. Let everybody in this seat come closer in spiritual peace in a special way. You understand and celebrate. Thank you.